Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our current teaching series entitled Bod for God, Four Keys to a Better Body. And today we're going to be talking about T is for team, building your circle of support. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 17. Also, I want to mention that in your program today is a study guide of our message. I'd like to encourage you to take that out and use it. And if you're listening online today, I really want to welcome you. And I thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to listen to this message. And you too can get the study guide right there on our website. But today we're going to talk about my favorite key. T is for team is my favorite key. And I learned that if I was going to deal with my sin of slothfulness and my sin of gluttony, that I had to build a circle of support, that I couldn't do it alone. And today I'm going to talk to you about how you can do that. How can you build a circle of support to deal with your sin, to deal with your addiction? And so I'm so glad you're here today. I want to begin by reading Proverbs 27, verse 17. Here the word of God says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." I want to read that again. And really, Proverbs are these little pithy statements of wisdom. And here's one of those statements of wisdom. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. You see, this verse tells us that we impact one another. That when we get around people, they sharpen us. They have a huge impact on us. And if we're going to have a bod for God, we got to learn how to get that working in our favor. We have to get that working in a positive way in our lives. Because no matter who we are, the people around us are going to impact us. I mean, there's no such thing as people in your life that don't impact you in some way. The question is how. How do they impact you? Do they impact you in a positive way and sharpen you in a positive way? Or do they impact you in a negative way and sharpen you in a negative way? Now, the thing that really strikes me about this verse, and early on when I saw this verse, and I laid claim, so to speak, with this verse and this promise here, the word that struck me was the word countenance. The word countenance. See, I want to find people in my life that could sharpen my countenance. Countenance. Now, countenance is something you can see, right? See, I wanted to change my life, and I realized that what I ate in private, I had to wear in public. What I ate in private, I had to wear it in public. See, it affected my countenance. This Hebrew word is such an incredible word. It means looks. It actually means the face. You know, when you lose weight, one of the first places you see it is in your face. Did you know that? It means, listen, surface. Surface. It means, listen, the presence of the person. The presence of the person. The way you present yourself as a person. You see, we have to build people in our life that can impact us. That can sharpen us. And yes, even sharpen us when it comes to our countenance. For example, when it comes to my sin issue of gluttony and slothfulness, I had to realize the people around me impacted me. Time magazine picked up on a study that was done by the New England Journal of Medicine. Not some little small project, the New England Journal of Medicine. And here's the headline of this Time article, August 2, 2007, How Friends Make You Fat. Now, I'm not going to tell you not to hang around with somebody. Okay, that's not the purpose today. Well, I guess I might be, but whatever. You know, how that friends make you fat. Let me just read a little bit of this. Why were people so surprised when the New England Journal of Medicine reported that obesity is a contagion you catch from your friends? He goes on to say, some friends cause hypertension, high blood pressure. You got any of those? Some cause drunkenness. And some, it is now confirmed, cause obesity or the opposite. The study concludes that skinny people likewise tend to make their friends skinny. And he goes on to talk about just the different people in your life. And it says here, researchers say our risk of obesity increases, listen to this, 57% for overweight friends. 57% for overweight friends. The people in our lives impact us. That's why I say this. Don't try to lose weight alone. Join a team of losers. Join a team of losers. Find people in your life. You know, don't try to lose drunkenness, pornography, bitterness, tobacco, pot, whatever, you name it. Don't try to lose that alone. You got to find a team of people that want to be losers in that area as well. You got to find people in your life that can support you, people in your life that can help you. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's go to page 2 of our notes and let's talk about this whole idea of building your circle of support. Number one, you got to understand, listen, the value of your team. Now, this is so important, point number one. I'm going to drill down on this quite a bit because if you don't buy into point one, the rest of the message is going to do you absolutely no good. The only way this is really going to become a part of your life is you got to value teamwork. You got to value a team. And the Bible teaches us the value of the team in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. It says here, two are better than one. Underline that. That's a biblical principle. Two are better than one. And then you'll see there an expansion of that principle. It gives the principle and then it explains the why. The why behind the principle. And now you'll notice down below there's some blanks that are related to this text. So fill in the blanks as we go. Teamwork produces, number one, mutual success. Mutual success. Verse 9 of Ecclesiastes 4 says, because they have a good reward for their labor. Two are better than one because there's mutual success. They have a good reward for their labor. See, when you team up with people, you can experience a great reward in your life. I mean, why do you think Satan wants to isolate you? See, a lot of you today, you're isolated. You're in your sin and nobody knows. There's people sitting here today addicted to pain medicine. It's probably one of the biggest addictions in the culture right now, okay? But nobody knows. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Satan wants to isolate you. He wants to push you in the dark. You know, he wants to isolate you. He wants to keep you in that condition. If you're going to experience a good reward, you got to be part of a team. You got to come out of the closet, so to speak. You have to be willing to come and say, you know what, I need help. It might be just that one trusted friend, but you go to somebody. You go to somebody because you want that good reward in your life. Secondly, there's mutual support. It says in verse 10, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls. This is such a sad statement here. For he has no one to help him up. He has no one to help him up. See, when you try to do life alone, when you fall, and you will fall, you won't have anybody to help you up. There won't be anybody there to support you. That's why you need a team. Because the team provides someone that can lift up his companion. Someone that can lift you up. Somebody that you can go to and share and say, you know, I'm having a difficult time. I'm having a tough time. You know, I want to go and do what I shouldn't do, and I'm contacting you, I'm calling you because I need you as a trusted friend right now. I'm going to go to those meetings. I'm going to take time to join with others that are struggling, and I'm going to get some support. And then thirdly, there's mutual strength. He goes on to say that two is great. Verse 12, two can withstand him, but listen, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. There's strength in numbers is what it's saying. Two is great, for sure. But man, three, a threefold cord, I mean, it cannot be quickly broken. I mean, the more you have on your team, the better. the better. Because the more people you have, that's more people praying for you. That's more people that can speak wisdom into your life. The more people you have on your team, the more counsel you can get, the more testimonies you can hear. The life change happens through the team. You get that mutual strength in your life. You get that mutual support in your life. Now, what keeps us from doing this? What's the number one thing that keeps us from being part of a team? Well, it's the spirit and the attitude that we can do it alone. And that spirit, that attitude is birthed out of one thing called pride. Called pride. See, Satan is proud. He revolted against God. He said, I will be like the Most High. And Satan, who was this awesome angel in heaven, was in a sense booted out of heaven, you know. And now is God's adversary because of his rebellion. He wants to put that spirit of rebellion in you because he wants to steal from you. He wants to kill you and he wants to destroy you. And one of the ways he's going to do that is to isolate you, where you are pushed aside and where you're not willing to come forward. You're not willing to be open about your struggle. See, pride goes before destruction. Pride goes and a haughty spirit before a fall. And one of the biggest culprits in this area a lot of times are guys, are men. We have the most trouble. You know who usually calls me up when there's a marital problem? The wife. And boy, does that cause some turmoil then, okay? What? You called him? We don't need him. We can solve this all by ourselves. Yeah, right. You've been doing a good job, haven't you, fella? Boy, you're really something, aren't you? That's how, us guys, we like teams when it comes to sports. When it comes to life, we're not very good at teamwork, are we? I mean, ladies are more natural. I mean, ladies even go to the bathroom as a team. Have you ever, you ever been out with a bunch of men and a bunch of ladies, and a lady will stand up and say, I'm going to the bathroom. Does anybody want to go with me? Man, when I walk in a men's room, the first thing I'm wanting to know is anybody else in here, okay? There's some weirdos in the men's room. Okay, but the point is, okay, that's the first thing I'm going to know. There's one other person there, I'm going, oh, man, you know. We're just wired differently. We're just wired differently, you know. Tonight I'll have 150, 200 people here for losing live. Two-thirds of them are going to be ladies. About a third are going to be men. Why? Aren't men overweight? Yeah, they're overweight. They're just not willing to connect the way ladies do. Guys, it's just pride's all it is. You know, you got a problem with porn? I mean, you can even use technology for porn. There's stuff these days where you can give somebody access to every site you look at. And they can check out where you're going on that internet. They can check out what sites you're looking at, okay? You can have a team even that way. But your own stinking pride will keep you from doing that. Pride goes before destruction. And a haughty spirit, do you have a haughty spirit? Goes before a fall. There's lots of little acrostics for team. One of my favorite is this: together, everyone achieves more. Together, everyone achieves more. Understand the value of your team. Number two, deal with the negative people on your team. Deal with the negative people on your team. Now, when it comes to teamwork, you got to realize that some people on your team are negatively impacting your life. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Do not be deceived. You say, oh, those people, they're not impacting me. Well, that's going totally contrary to the Bible. The Bible says, if you hang out with evil people, it's going to corrupt your good habits. It's going to corrupt your good habits. Evil company corrupts good habits. So the point is this: you've got to be willing to deal with the negative people on your team. For example, in my own life, I had to actually start with my own mother. My own mother. Now, you know, I live 180 miles from my mother, so it's not like she's feeding me every day, but you know, you don't get to be 100 pounds in the first grade without somebody feeding you. I don't know if you realize that or not, okay? But I was 100 pounds at first grade. So I had a mother who loves to express her love through food. She's a typical, what I call, Southern mama. And that food usually included lots of grease and lots of sugar and lots of calories. And so when I decided that, you know, I'm going to lose 100 pounds. I said, that's my goal. I'm going to lose 100 pounds. I actually sat down with my mom, and I was pretty direct with her. I said, Mom, you got diabetes. You see all you're dealing with diabetes? Papa, that's my grandfather. I call him Papa. Papa died of diabetes, Mom. I don't want to have diabetes. And I understand that it's very possible that if I will lose weight, I can lose the diabetes. It doesn't happen all the time. But my grandfather, for example, going back to him, skinny, muscular farmer, never overweight. So it's definitely my family tree, my genes or whatever. But I was just sitting here thinking, if I can get rid of this by losing weight, man, I'm going to do it. And I said, Mom, something's going to change. It's got to change, you know? And we got to do things differently. And I'm telling you, I went toe-to-toe with my mom, and I said, Mom, you know, it's going to be different. It's going to be different. And thank God, God worked in her life. And today, she's lost lots of weight herself. And every Wednesday night at Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia, Alfred and Betsy Reynolds are sitting down with a team and losing to live at their church. But I had to go to my own mom and say, Mom, I need you on my team, you know. I need you on my team in a positive way. I mean, you might have to go to somebody that's very, very close to you and talk about this stuff. In Genesis 39, we see an example of how to do this. Let me give you the background. Here's the story of Joseph. Now, Joseph worked for a man named Potiphar. And Potiphar, he was an officer of Pharaoh. And his job was pretty much to run the guy's household, to kind of manage his affairs. That was his job. And in the midst of doing his job, he faces a temptation of sexuality, a sexual temptation. This guy's wife, Potiphar's wife, actually makes a move towards Joseph. Now, I want to just stop and say this, that the biggest place where adultery and fornication starts in our culture is in the workplace. You got to be really careful in the workplace. And it makes a lot of sense to me that it would be that way. Because when you go to work, you look your best. I mean, I've told you, look, I look nice, don't I? I mean, I am really sharp. I mean, I'm a real guy wearing a pink shirt today, okay? When I get home, you wouldn't believe what I put on, okay? I mean, I believe in wearing a T-shirt at least a month, whether it's got mustard or anything on it. Okay, I mean, you know, I just, you know, okay. And the more holes it's got in it, the better. I mean, it saves on the air conditioning bill. But the point is, I mean, you know, and I do my best. That's how we are. You know, we look our best, we act our best, and then we go home. And hopefully we're, you know, working on that too. But the point is, you're under this common pressure. You're working on these projects together. You have common stresses. You're together a lot, and you start talking. I'm having problems with my marriage. And before long, what do you have happening? Adultery happens every day. It's probably happening right here in the room, right here. It's probably people sitting here right now involved in this stuff right now, okay? You got to be careful. You got to be careful everywhere. But here is the workplace, and it's a very common area of sin in this way. And so she actually says to Joseph, lie with me. Let's go to bed. Let's have sex. And he refused. He refused. How did he handle that situation? Two things you got to do. Number one, you have to confront. He went to her and he says, listen, look. I love that word there. Circle that. Look. He said, I had to say to my mom, look, Mom. You're going to have to say to that person, look. I'm not going out getting drunk with you anymore. Look. Look. I'm going to stop this. I'm going to change this. And he began to say, he said, listen, your husband trusted me with this whole household. I am not going to betray him in this way. This is what Joseph does here. He's thinking wisely. He's not thinking, wow, you're good looking. You know, the previous verse 6 says that Joseph was a handsome guy, you know. Nobody's going to know. Nobody's going to find out. This would be nice. He could have started thinking like that, but he didn't start thinking like that. He said, look, look, your husband trusted me to run this place. The last thing I'm going to do is hop in bed with his wife. Thinking correctly. But the first thing you do is you got to confront. Second thing you might have to do is to avoid or to separate yourself. He kind of gave her a chance to stop and to change, and she wouldn't do it. She kept on coming at him, you know. And eventually, the Bible says, he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. What's God telling you to run from today? What's God speaking to you about that you need to run from in your life? Confront and, if necessary, there's a verse there in Matthew 18, 15 for confront, and if necessary, avoid. And Psalm 1:1 talks about avoiding the ungodly, standing in the path of sinners, sitting in the seat of the scornful, okay? So for me, I got to confront and avoid people who influence me to eat more and to exercise less. I got to confront people in that way. I have to be willing to run from those situations. I was so impressed this week, the news picked up on the story of this, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her name right, Kylie Basuti, I think it is. But she was a Victoria's Secret model. She got picked out of 10,000 women. In 2009, she got picked for that position. And God began working on her, okay? And here's a woman who quit that position. And here's what she said. She said, I want to save my body for my husband. And I want to honor God with my body. I want to save my body. I don't want all these mainly men looking at my body. I'm going to save my body for my husband. And she says, I want to honor God with my body. She said, this is such a powerful statement. She talked here about how God was convicting her of this. What's God convicting you about? What's God convicting you about? See, she was willing to pay a huge price. You might have to pay a huge price. I don't know what I'm asking you to do. I don't know. But here was a woman who walked away from a very lucrative income, I'm sure, because she wanted to honor God with her body. She wanted to honor God with her body. What are you willing to flee from? What is God telling you? Who do you need to avoid? What negative people? Because you know what? I'm telling you, I see it all the time as a pastor. It's amazing how negative people find each other. I don't know if it's an odor they put off or I'm not sure what it is, but it's crazy how they can just find each other. I don't understand it. Number three, choose wise people for your team. Choose wise people. You are the average of the five closest people to you. Who's your favorite five? You are the average of those five people. And the Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with wise men will be wise. You say, I wish I was more wise. Well, walk with wise people. Because if you have a companion of fools in your life, you're hanging out with a bunch of fools, you are going to be destroyed. You are going to be destroyed. So you got to decide who you're going to walk through life with. And I challenge you to choose wise people. Choose wise people for your team. Now let's talk about that on the back of our notes. Exodus 17:8-13. I love this example. Here's a man, guys. His name's Moses. And he was a mighty man of God. He was a powerful man of God. And basically, the Bible tells us how that Israel was fighting against Amalek and how that Moses went to the top of the hill to be in a visible place as the leader. And the Bible tells us that as long as Moses could hold up his hands, this is a powerful picture here, as long as Moses could hold up his hands, Israel prevailed. Israel would prevail. As long as Moses could hold up his hands, Israel could prevail. But guess what? When you hold up your hands, you know, you get tired, don't you? You get tired. And the Bible says in verse 12, Moses' hands became heavy Moses' hands became heavy. And so what does the Word of God say? The Word of God says that Aaron and Hur supported his hands. Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side. His hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. See, he was a man that was willing to humble himself and say, you know what, I can't hold up my hands by myself. We have to humble ourselves. We have to say, you know what, I got a problem with gluttony. I got a problem with slothfulness. And I'm going to come and sit down on Sunday night with a team of people. And I'm going to ask them to pray for me, and I'm going to pray for them. And we're going to talk about this stuff, and we're going to encourage each other and equip each other and do what we have to do, you know. It takes some humility. But who are the wise people holding up your hands? Who are the wise people in your life that are coming alongside of you in life? Well, when I first started this journey, we didn't have a Lose and Live program. This came later on. But I, right from the beginning, I knew I had to have a team. And so I actually got very particular about the type of people I was going to put on my team. And because I like words to start the same, I came up with three E words. And I started looking for these people. First type of person I started looking for was people that could educate me. People that could educate me. I decided that I was going to be a lifelong learner when it came to health and wellness. And I started, you know, reading. I started researching and looking at things. And to this day, I spend about 15 to 30 minutes every single day reading something about health, reading something about wellness, reading something about weight loss, just to keep my mind renewed, just to keep my mind sharp. If you've got a sin in your life, you need to learn everything you can about that sin. You need to know what those cigarettes are doing to you. You need to become very educated about those cigarettes. You need to know about nicotine. You need to know about the damage it's doing to your lungs. You need to know the impact it's having on your life. You need to get educated. You need to educate yourself about what it takes to overcome that sin, what it takes to overcome that addiction. You need to get smart in that area. Number two, I had to find people that would encourage me. People that can educate you, these people tell you what to do. They tell you what to do. People that encourage you, these people tell you, you can do it. I mean, we all need that a boy. Good. People that just can encourage us. We need people to come alongside of us and can lift us up and encourage us in our journey. And the more people you can find that have gone through what you're going through, that are living in victory, man, those are some special people in your life, you know. Just that can come alongside of you and help you. I started making friends with people who had lost a lot of weight. You know, I was looking for people who had lost 100 pounds. I want to make them my friends. I want to get to know them. People that can encourage me. And then number three, people that can equip you. These people show you how to do it. You need to get people in your life that can kind of show you how to do it. For example, in my area, I had learned how to cook healthy, how to exercise properly. And I started building people in my life that could help me in these areas. You got to choose some wise people. And then lastly, and this is the most important thing, we're winding it all down, and this is where we're going to land. You got to ask God to be on your team. You got to ask God to be on your team. This is what it's all about, having a bod for God. And you're never going to have a bod for God without God being on your team. And really, ultimately, what you're doing is you're getting on His team. Did you know that? You're really getting on His team. See, the Bible says, listen to this, Proverbs 24:10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So you relapse. You relapse. What do you need to look at? The first thing you need to look at is what strength you're relying on. Because if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Your strength is small. And so you need to get connected with God. You need to get connected with God. John 15:5, I love it, says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Isn't that an awesome word picture? He's the life giver. What happens when a branch gets disconnected from the vine? It withers up, doesn't it? It withers up. He's the vine. He's the life giver. We're just branches. You're a branch. And listen, if you stay connected to the vine, that means abide in me. That means stay closely connected to me. He says, I'll be in you. Okay? And guess what? I love this. You can bear what? Much fruit. Much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Today, I want to encourage you to take some next steps. I want to encourage you to do three things as your next step. Number one, I want to encourage you today to ask God to be on your team. I want to encourage you, if there's never been a time in your life when you ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your Lord, I'm going to ask you to do that today. Number two, I'm going to ask you to deal with the negative people on your team. I'm going to encourage you, start with confronting, because it'd be great if they would turn and repent and go on the journey with you. Wouldn't that be? That would be much better. That person you're smoking weed with right now, if they would just walk away from it and give it up, that'd be the best, you know? That'd be great, you know? But you're going to have to deal with these people. And if they're not willing to do that, you're going to have to separate yourself. You have to separate yourself. And number three, I will choose wise people for my team. Would you take those as next steps? Ladies and gentlemen, as we finish today, here's the deal. If you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember this. Bod for God is really about living the life that God created you to live. It's not about obesity. It's not about alcohol. It's not about bitterness. It's not about porn. It's not about any of that stuff we've talked about. It's about living the life that God designed for you to live. That's what it's all about. This here, you know, was keeping me from living. It's a 5-pound replica of fat. I still need to lose about 4 more of these, okay? This was keeping me from living the life I could live. Carrying around 340 pounds of high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and diabetes, digging my grave with a knife, fork, and ice cream spoon. This is what it was about life. That's what it was about. It's not about your little cigarettes, you know? By the way, you're the sucker on the end, amen, okay? Don't forget that. It's not about that. It's not about all that. It's about living, okay? It's about living. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, if you want to live, you got to deny yourself. You got to deny yourself. See, the problem with addiction is it becomes like the norm for you. That's the problem with it. It's like that's your norm to be a bitter, angry, mean, negative person. That's kind of your norm. That's kind of your normal life or whatever. And you got to get used to it. You get these ruts in your mind. You get your ruts in this life. It's not easy to change. But you got to deny yourself. You got to take up the cross. Jesus had to take up the physical cross of dying for our sin. We're not the Savior. Our cross is not a cross like this. This was Jesus' cross. My cross was wellness. My cross was weight loss. I had to pick up that cross. And Jesus said, if I was willing to do that, take up the cross and follow him, that I could live. That I could live. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what I want for you more than anything else. That you would live. And it doesn't really matter what I want too much. It's what God wants for you. It's what God wants for you. He wants you to live. And that's why you ought to have a bod for God. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for being a great and mighty God. Thank you, Lord, for your presence in this room today. Thank you for the way you've been working. God, thank you that you are taking this message to the world. And we praise you for that. And we thank you for that, Almighty God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day. With every head bowed, every eye closed, has there been that time in your life when you asked Jesus Christ to be on your team? Meaning specifically where you ask him to be your Savior and your Lord. And if there's never been that time in your life, I want to encourage you to do that today. The Bible says, call on the Lord to be saved. Call on the Lord to be saved. I want to encourage you to call out to him and just pray something like this. Dear God, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that Jesus died for me. I believe He rose from the grave to give me eternal life. Come into my heart, Jesus, and save me. I turn from my sin, and I put my trust in You. Today, will You decide You're going to deal with the negative people in your life? Aren't you tired of being destroyed by the fools you're hanging out with? Will you make a decision today that you're going to find some wise people and you're going to go through life with those wise people? Will you humble yourself enough to know that you need people in your life and quit isolating yourself? Will you do that today? Father, we love You and thank You for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.